Merry Christmas, everyone. I'm so glad you're here to worship the King of Kings with us today. Reading what the Lord prophesied, what he gave to us through the prophet Isaiah in chapter 9, starting in verse 2, "The people who walked in darkness have seen a great light. Those who dwelt in a land of deep darkness, on them has light shone. You have multiplied the nation. You have increased its joy. They rejoice before you as with the joy at the harvest, as they were glad when they divide the spoil. For the yoke of his burden, the staff of his shoulder, and the rod of his oppressor, you have broken as on the day of Midian. For every boot of the trampling warrior in the battle tumult, and every garment rolled in blood, will be burned as fuel for the fire. For to us a child is born, to us a son is given. And the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and of peace, there will be no end. On the throne of David and over his kingdom, to establish it and to uphold it with justice and with righteousness from this time forth and forevermore. The zeal of the Lord of hosts will do this." I want to welcome you today as we talk about the light who stepped in and shone in the midst of the darkness. As we talk about Jesus, the one and only Savior of the world, the one who came to free us from our sin, the one who came to give hope and joy and peace and life. So tonight we're going to do what we do every time that we gather together on a Sunday morning. We are going to worship our King Jesus. We are going to worship him and him alone, because tonight is only ever about Jesus. I want to close this scripture reading with a passage from Philippians that brings to mind what it is that we are focusing on tonight. Verse 5 of chapter 2, "Have this mind among yourselves, which is yours in Christ Jesus, who, though he was in the form of God, did not count equality with God a thing to be grasped, but emptied himself by taking the form of a servant, being born in the likeness of men, and being found in human form, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. Therefore, God has exalted him and bestowed on him the name that is above every other name, so that at the name of Jesus, every knee shall bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father." Can you confess that Jesus Christ is Lord? Amen? Amen. Would you stand with us and worship the newborn King today? Father God, thank you for this time that we have. Lord, we are here to worship you. We are so grateful, so thankful that you made it possible for us to know you by sending your Son down to this earth to leave the glory and splendor of heaven, to come to live amongst those whom he created. Lord, we thank you so much that we have this moment to reflect on the truth of the incarnation, of the Word that became flesh and dwelt among us. Lord, thank you so much that you did all of this to bring about our salvation. We thank you that the baby who was born grew up to be a man who willingly laid down his life on the cross so that we might have life in his name. We thank you, Lord, that he is alive today, and so therefore we can have life. Father, I pray that you would be with us right now as we reflect on these Christmas passages, as we reflect on what it means that you sent hope and peace and life and light down to this world for us. Would you stir our hearts as we worship you by opening up your word? Would you make your word so plain and so clear to us today? In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Well, you may be seated. I don't know about you, but I like the Christmas traditions that my family has and that I personally have. And maybe you're sitting there and you're thinking about various Christmas traditions that you have as well. One of my favorite Christmas traditions is to read. And if you know me, you go, no, you do that all the time. But one of my favorite Christmas traditions is to read a specific book, A Christmas Carol by Charles Dickens. And it's such a small book. You can read it on your own, and it's so impactful. And we all mostly know the story. The Muppets Christmas Carol is actually really, really similar to the actual book, right? So if you want a good version to watch instead of read, The Muppets Christmas Carol, I might recommend that. One of my favorite lines in The Christmas Carol, one of my favorite parts of it, is when Scrooge, Ebenezer Scrooge, is first confronted by the ghost of his business partner, Jacob Marley. And there is his partner who's come to life and is trying to teach him a lesson about Christmas cheer and the true reason for the season. And his old partner there is standing as a ghost, and he has chains all over them. And essentially his warning is to Scrooge is, hey, don't become like me. And one of my favorite lines is how Scrooge responds to Marley. What he says essentially is, I don't believe that you're standing in front of me. I don't believe that you are real. In fact, I think that you are just a bit of undigested beef, a spot of bad mustard, something that I ate that's causing me to hallucinate. And in fact, he then says, there's more gravy than grave about you. And maybe you're sitting here and saying, wow, this is the weirdest intro to a Christmas Eve service I've ever heard. My point is this. There might be some of you tonight that are looking at me and say, ah, there's more gravy than grave about you. You might be sitting here tonight and you came in because family dragged you in. Maybe you came in because that's just the thing to do. Maybe you came in because you feel like there is something in your heart that just isn't quite right. Maybe you came in because during this time of the year, this season, there's something about just the warm feeling about being together and doing the traditional Christmas things. But maybe you're sitting there and you don't quite fully buy into this Jesus thing. Maybe you're sitting here tonight and you feel as though Jesus, it's a good concept, but I don't really truly believe in him. My encouragement for you tonight is if that's you, would you just open up your eyes and believe? Because my guess is that God has been poking and prodding you all year long, and especially during this season, to make you see and understand how real he is. My guess is that God has shown up in your life in ways that you haven't even understood at this point yet. When I first put my trust in Jesus years ago, I looked back at my life and I saw all the moments where God showed up in a spectacular way, where he was standing right in front of me, making himself so plain, so clear, so evident to me, but I ignored him. And you know why I ignored him? Because I was so focused on myself. I was so focused on the things that I wanted to do, the things that I wanted to accomplish. I was focused on the life that I thought I needed and I wanted. And so if that's you tonight, I want you to know I'm praying for you. I'm praying that you would open up your eyes and see Jesus clearly as he is. I'm in the Gospel of Luke, chapter 2. This is the passage that we read that so clearly explains the birth of Jesus Christ. Verse 1 of chapter 2 says, in those days the decree went out from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be registered. This was the first registration when Quirinius was governor of Syria. These first two verses, what's this all about? Why do we hear about Caesar Augustus and Quirinius, that weird hard name that all the kids can't pronounce when they're doing the Christmas program? It's so stinking cute. Why do we hear about this? Well, Luke is doing something. Luke, the gospel writer, he is adding these details so that we can be confident of the historical record of Jesus Christ. He's adding these details so that we can be confident of the date, the time, the location, and the reason why this all came about. And the interesting thing to me is I read Caesar Augustus, and we know that this is the first emperor of the Empire of Rome. After Caesar was assassinated, there's a civil war. The Roman world goes into chaos, and Caesar Augustus, he arises king, and he calls himself King of Kings. He calls himself the ruler of the world. And unbeknownst to him, the true ruler of the world was about to show up. The true ruler of the world was going to take his throne, not in majestic splendor, but humbly in a feeding trough, in a manger. Verse 3, and all went to be registered, each to his own town. And Joseph went up to Galilee from the town of Nazareth to Judea, to the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was the house and lineage of David, to be registered with Mary, his betrothed, who was with child. And while they were there, the time came for her to give birth. And she gave birth to her firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling clothes and laid him in a manger, because there was no place for them in the inn. And at the same region, there were shepherds out in the field keeping watch over the flock by night. And an angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were filled with great fear. I love these shepherds. This is my favorite part of the whole chapter of this whole season, is to focus on the shepherds. And if you've been here a couple times for Christmas Eve, this is now my sixth Christmas Eve here at Faith Community Church, and I guarantee every single Christmas Eve service that you've been and listened to, I've talked about the shepherds. Because I love these shepherds. I can identify with them so plainly, so clearly. These shepherds are going about their business. They are keeping watch over their flock. They're trying to be faithful, but they are often lowest of the low on society's rung. They're often overlooked. They're doing the hard jobs. They're doing the difficult things, but they're doing something that's necessary. And these shepherds are often overlooked by the rest of the people. And the angel shows up to the shepherds. These shepherds are just normal guys that are just there to do the thing, and God interrupts their nights and their lives. God sends angels down to announce to them that something spectacular has happened. And these lowly shepherds, they respond to the good news of great joy that they hear. They respond to this good news so appropriately. We're going to take a few moments and explain and understand how these shepherds respond. Verse 9, an angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were filled with great fear. Wouldn't you be filled with great fear? If God's glory is shining so brightly, if an angel shows up and starts talking to you, you would be quaking in your boots. And the angel said to them, "Fear not." In the midst of a fear response that they would have, in the midst of the worry and the trepidation that they would have, the angel meets them where they're at and says, "Fear not." Because the Lord, he brings peace. Not fear. Fear not, for behold, I bring to you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. And this will be a sign for you. You will find a baby wrapped in swaddling clothes and lying in a manger. And suddenly there with the angel was a multitude of the heavenly host praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among those with whom he is pleased." Can you imagine the scene right there? The angel is announcing with great specificity the birth of the newborn king. With great specificity, he says, "Go and check it out. Go and hold me to my word. The king has arrived. You'll find him wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger." What an interesting turn of events. The king of the universe is now dwelling amongst the animals in a feeding trough. And then the heavenly host, They show up and they're filling the sky and they proclaim, we say in the song, we say sing. It doesn't actually say sing, but you can insert that if you want. That's okay. They're proclaiming, they're singing, they're rapping, whatever you want to call it. Glory to God in the highest. When we understand who Jesus is, when we look at who he is and what he's done, our response should be to glorify him. Take the spotlight off of ourselves and shine it directly on him. And then they say this really interesting thing, and on earth peace amongst those with whom he is pleased. Now that phrase has for years caught in my mind. Who is it with whom God is pleased? How can I know that I can have peace on this earth? And how can I know if God is pleased with me or not? Well, I'll just cut to the chase. The book of Hebrews, chapter 11, it says, without faith, it is impossible to please God. The reality of it is that you and I are sinners by nature and by choice. And our sin, it separates us from God. And so although we are born and created in the image of God with great worth, great dignity, we matter, that image has been marred because of sin. Because every time that we sin, every time that we choose to do life our own way, we are telling the King of the universe, no, 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 you step aside, I'm going to be king today. The Bible tells us that all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. It tells us that the wages of sin is death. The thing that you and I have incurred for our sin is death. So if all that is true, if we truly are sinners, if we truly deserve the wrath of God, if we truly deserve death because of our sin, then how and why is it possible for us to please God? How is it possible for us to stand in front of the King of the universe and have him look on us, not just with pleasure, but look out on us as his sons and his daughters? Again, Hebrews chapter 11. Without faith, it is impossible to please God. How do we please God? We believe him at his word. Abraham. You know that name, right? From the kids' songs, Father Abraham. Well, the book of Romans actually says that Father Abraham actually is the spiritual father of all who have faith in God. All who would put their trust in Jesus, Abraham truly is the spiritual father of us all. And Abraham, he did this really awesome thing. In Genesis chapter 15, verse 6, he hears God's word. God makes an awesome promise to Abraham. He makes a covenant with Abraham. And as Abraham hears God's word, do you know what Abraham did? Genesis chapter 15, verse 6, it says, Abraham believed God, and it was counted to him as righteousness. How and why is Abraham counted as righteous? It's not because he is so good. It's not because he tried so hard. It's not because he did all the quote-unquote right things. It's not because he showed up to church. And it's not because he helped little old ladies cross the street. He didn't somehow weigh out his good deeds versus his bad deeds. No, Abraham was counted as righteous because he believed God. He was pleasing to God because he had faith in God. And that's exactly how these shepherds respond as well. These shepherds hear God's word. They hear God proclaim the good news of great joy to them. And they don't just say, that was strange, and go about their business. They don't just say, hey, that was pretty exciting. What should we do next? No. These shepherds, they hear God's word and they respond. They hear God's word and they put their faith in action. Verse 15, when the angels went away from them into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, let us go over to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has made known to us. And they went with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the baby lying in a manger. And when they saw it, they made known the saying that they had been told concerning the child. And all who heard it wondered at what the shepherds told them. They were amazed. Verse 19, but Mary treasured up all these things, pondering them in their hearts. And the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God, for they had heard and seen and had been told to them. These shepherds, they respond by going and seeing Jesus. They hear the good word of the Lord, and by faith, they rush. It doesn't say that they dragged their feet. It doesn't say that they waited till their shift was over. It doesn't say that they got around to it when life just got a little less busy. No. The shepherds said, let us go. Verse 16, and with haste, they ran to Jesus. If I have anything to ask you to do tonight, any sort of challenge, any sort of imploring of your hearts, any sort of cry out, would you run to Jesus tonight? Shepherds say, let us go. And with haste, they go and they see the fulfillment of the thing that God had announced to them. They go and they see the newborn king lying in the manger just as the angels had told them. And they don't stop there. After they go and they encounter Jesus, they worship him. So if I would tell you, the first thing is please run to Jesus. The second thing that I would ask you to do is after you get done running to Jesus, fall on your face and worship him. He's the King of the universe. He's the one who came to free us of our sins. He's the one who stepped into creation to live a perfect, spotless life and to take your place on the cross. That's what Jesus did. He is worth worshiping. Not only did he take your place on the cross, he rose victoriously from the dead. He's worth worshiping. These shepherds, they go, they worship, and they didn't stop there. I'm not going to bust out into singing Go Tell It on the Mountain. But you can imagine that, because that's the next thing that the shepherds do. After they go, after they worship, they tell anyone and everyone that would listen, anyone and everyone that would pay attention about who Jesus is. And so if you're sitting here today and you know Jesus, my question to you is, who's the last person you told about Jesus? If you're sitting here tonight and you're saying, yes, I worship the one who was born, who lived, who died, and who rose again. He is my King. He is the Lord of Lords. He is my Prince of Peace. If that is you tonight, who's the last one that you told about Jesus? Right now, it's a perfect time to tell people about Jesus. It's the perfect time to tell people about why they feel empty inside. Why they feel restless. What is that thing that they are always looking for? They're always searching for? Now is the perfect time to tell them about King Jesus. And maybe you're sitting here tonight and a lot of my words are just falling empty on you. Because maybe you're sitting here tonight and you have experienced great pain this last year. Maybe you're sitting here tonight and you're thinking about all the things that you wanted to accomplish that you couldn't. You're thinking about all the things that you had hoped for that never came to fruition. Maybe you're thinking about lost loved ones. Maybe you're thinking about hopes that have been dashed. Maybe you're thinking about the inner turmoil that is raging in you right now. I have good news for you. Good news of great joy. It's that the King of the universe, he is also the Prince of Peace. And peace is only available through him, by him. Peace is only attainable if we know Jesus. And maybe you're sitting there and you're saying, yeah, those are good words. But what about when you're actually in the midst of it? Well, folks, I've been in the midst of it. My wife and I we've had a lot of pain. But man, God has been so good. God has been so faithful. And I have peace because of him. I have peace because he and he alone can carry me through. Because he is the wonderful counselor, the everlasting father, the Prince of Peace, my mighty God. That's who Jesus is. So my hope and my prayer is that you hear these words. My hope and my prayer is that you hear about the good news of great joy and you do just what these shepherds do. I want to read it again. And as I read it again, I want you to think about your plan. Think about what it is that you're going to do in the midst of your life. Maybe tonight, maybe tomorrow, maybe the next day. But when you hear these words, my question is, what will you do with these words? Glory to God in the highest, and on earth, peace amongst those with whom He is pleased. Let's pray. Father, we thank You so much. You are such a good, good God. You have looked upon us who are lost, hopeless, helpless. You have seen those who have been stumbling and bumbling around in the darkness, and You've shown a great light. We thank You for the light that Jesus is. We thank You for the life that He is, and the life that He gives and brings. Father, I pray that You would fill us with His hope. You would fill us with His joy. You would fill us with His peace. Father, I pray that every single one in here tonight would hear the good news of this great joy that You offer. And I pray that we would be just like the shepherds and we would run to You. No matter what our life circumstances are, no matter what happened yesterday, no matter what is going to happen tomorrow, Lord, I pray that when we encounter You, that we would worship You. Father, we thank You so much that we can run to You. We thank You that You're worthy of our worship. Lord, would You embolden us to go and to tell others about You and what You've done. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Can you hold your lights up for a second? Yeah, that's cool. That's cool. C.S. You can put them down. I don't need. One of my favorite authors, C.S. Lewis. He says, "I believe in Christianity like I believe in the sun. Not only do I see its light, but by its life light, I see everything else. By Jesus, we can see His light so clearly. But boy." When we know Jesus, He changes everything, doesn't He? He shines light into the deepest, darkest places of our hearts and in our worlds. And I want to encourage you that no matter how dark our world gets, no matter how dark it seems as though maybe your own life gets, I want to encourage you what we read in John chapter 1. It says, "The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness will not, cannot overcome it." What an incredible thing. Jesus can never be overcome. He's the King of the universe. And as you and I stand here today, I want to encourage you with one more verse. It's become one of my favorite verses in the whole Bible. John chapter 1, verse 12. We read that, before that, we read that Jesus, when He came to His own, when He's born in Bethlehem, His own people rejected Him. But John 1:12 says, "But to all who did receive Him, who believed in His name, He gave the right to be called children of God." You have the right to be called children of God. By faith, put your trust in Him tonight. We can go ahead and blow them out. Thank you so much for coming. Encourage you to have a wonderful night. Drive safe. And Merry Christmas.